continuing to talk about inyanim relating to a wedding, since so many of us are going to weddings over the next couple of weeks and have been going to weddings this week, unfortunately sometimes at night, but always at night. But the last time we discussed the chasen tish, so you think that right after the chasen tish, you move on to discussing the badekin, I guess would be the next natural thing to discuss, followed by the chuppah. But I'm going to go a little out of order. Instead of discussing the badekin or the chuppah, I'm going to discuss what happens in between the badekin and the chuppah, the actual procession to the chuppah, the actual parade down to the chuppah, and whether there are any issues that need to be taken into account when just figuring out where the chuppah is, how one walks down to the chuppah, and what you do before the chuppah even begins. So first of all, just in general, when you guys, Mirza Hashem, do get married, a very good sefer, a good friend of mine wrote about Warren Cinnamon, Biyom Chasu Naso. It'll take you an hour to read the whole thing, and you will basically understand the entire wedding process. Very, very well done. English text, Hebrew footnotes. So that's my plug for my friend Sefer. But anyway, first in terms of the location of the chuppah, in many communities there's a minhag to have the chuppah outdoors, or at least underneath the open sky, because we want to have it under Kippas HaShemayim, is the lashon that the post can use. And the Rama writes that that's to give a simin, it's a simin tov, that our children should be like the stars of Shemayim, so you do it directly underneath the stars. That's what the Rama writes in Ibn Ezra Simin Samach Aleph, the simin tov she'e zarom kekochvei HaShemayim. Other places, they're not so makbid about this. Rav Moshe has an interesting tshuva in Ibn Ezra, Chilkal, Simin Sadi Gimel. Rav Moshe writes that making the chuppah, tachas ha-shamayim, is a simin bracha. So what kind of minig is that? He says, Ein zeh takanas chachamim, v'gam lo minig mitzad eze din, v'chashash iser, o inyan mitzvah. He says, some minhagim we have because there's a chashash iser, so we're trying to stay out of some sort of chashash, or because there's a possibility of a kiyum mitzvah by observing the minhag. He says, this is none of those things. This is like the lowest form of minhag. It's a minhag that we do because it's just nice. There's no actual kiyum in this minhag, so it's a very low level minhag, and therefore it's really not the end of the world if it can't be tachas kippas ha-shamayim. Remember, where I got married in a hotel in New Jersey, and they had a room that had a skylight, that had a window that you can make the chuppah under, but it was completely off center in the room. It wasn't at the middle of the room. It was like all the way off to the left side. So I asked Rav Shechter, should we make the chuppah all the way on the left side to dafka be under the stars, or should we make it in the middle of the room? He said, look, I'm not so makbid that a dafka has to be under the stars. But if you're in a room that already has an open ceiling, so just because you think it looks a little funny, I don't think that's enough reason to move the chuppah. So my chuppah was all the way on the side of the room, and I remember when we looked forward, the whole chuppah was on the women's side. It was very odd. We were all looking only at the women if you're looking forward. But anyway, there is such a minhag. Now, in terms of the actual processional to the chuppah, so in previous generations, it used to be that people, a large group, would go to the chasen and go to the kala at their homes, pick them up from their houses, and actually bring them to the chuppah. Rashi writes this in Megillah Daf Chav Tes Amud Aleph. The Drisha in Yardesh and Samech Aleph discusses this minhag, and the chasen would enter the chuppah escorted by a throng of people, by a whole group of people. Today, however, the minhag is that the chasen is simply escorted by his parents, and he's followed by the kala, who's escorted by her parents. That's our minhag. The reason the chasen goes first, the Bir Agra, Ibn Ezra, Simin Nun Hei, Sivkat and Tes, says because the chuppah is supposed to be a symbol of the beiso shel chasen, of the chasen's house. So it's appropriate that he should be there first in order to be machnis the kala into his bayis. That's why the chasen goes first. There are communities where the practice is that they have the avia chasan va'avia kala bimalava the chasan, and the ema chasan va'ema kala bimalava the kala, whereas the fathers go with the chasan and the mothers go with the kala. So Rav Shechter once told me that one of his daughters got married to a Merkas Harav guy in Eretz Yisrael, an Israeli fellow, and the Rashiva of Merkas Harav was Misar Kiddushin. And Rav Shechter asked the Masar Kedushin if he would mind if they would have Rav Shechter and his wife be Malava their daughter, because I think his wife wanted it, or he wanted whatever it was, to be malava their daughter, rather than have the fathers be malava the chasim and the mothers be malava the kala. And he made the Rashid made a very big deal. He said, "I won't be masara kiddushin if we do that. Our minig here is that's what we do. We do it this way. That's the only way we do it." Okay, fine. So there are different minhagim. In Isun Kiluchsan Parakid Beis, he discusses other halachas of the shushvinim. He says you can't be a shushvin unless with someone of a different gender, unless it's bal v'ishto or av imbito or ben im imo. Meaning sometimes Rachman al-Tzlan, someone lost a parent and they're getting married, so they'll have a sibling take the place of that parent. An older sibling sometimes will take the place of that parent. That's okay, because the two people that are walking them down are a mother and son, but not some man with some other woman. Even if the woman is single, even if it's his mother-in-law or some other relative, that's how the Nisun Kilchsa writes, quoting from the Shulchan Ezer, in the name of the Chosim Kodesh. Now, he writes also that a man and his ex-wife should not be shushvinim together when their children get married, because they shouldn't be doing things together. I don't know. I think I've seen people not so machpid about that, but that's what Nisun Kilchsa writes, that they should be careful about the shushvinim. Not only that, he quotes from a whole group of poskim, Menachas Yitzchak and Chalkas Yaakov and others, that have a hakpada based on earlier svarim, that the couple that walks them down should be a couple in zivug rishon. That shouldn't be a couple that's walking down that's in their second marriage, unless one of the members of the couple is in zivug rishon. Meaning, even if one is zivug sheni, one is zivug rishon, maybe that's okay. But then he quotes a further machlokas. Maybe if it's the parents of the child, then even if it's zivug sheni, so then it should be okay to walk them down. I'm not sure what all this is based on, where all this comes from. The Nisun Kilchsa just quotes it. I'm not sure really what it's based on. In many communities, there's a minag based on a medrash that the chassan takes a few steps out of the chuppah and then walks the kala the rest of the way to the chuppah. It's based on a medrash that kechassan hayotze likros kala. The medrash is quoted in Rashi and Chumash in Parshas Yisro, Perek Yates, and it's done to demonstrate that he's bringing her into his home, like we said before, the same reason why the chassan comes to the chuppah first. However, Rav Shechter writes in Nefesh HaRav, I think, I didn't get a chance to look it up, but I think it's in Nefesh HaRav, I've definitely heard him say it, in the name of Rav Soloveitchik, that Rav Soloveitchik thought that this was a chukas hagayim, that they got this minag. He didn't say that. I don't think he said in the halachic terminology of chukas hagayim. I think that minag zeh minagayim lakchua. That this minag they took from the Goyim. This minag is not a Jewish minag. There's no Jewish basis for this minag. So Soloveitchik wasn't so into that minag, to say the least. I've heard that from Rav Willig as well, I believe. Now, there is also a minag, many of the minag, that the people walking down the Chasan Kala carry candles on their way down to the chuppah. I'm seeing this less and less these days. It used to be like very, very common practice. For whatever reason, we see a little bit less. And the idea is that the Rokeach writes in Hilchos Erusin V'Kiddushin and the Tashbetz that Masha Zorkin Neiros Zulukos Remez L'Matan Torah. A lot of what we do at the chuppah is a remez to Matan Torah. So they say, you know, just like Matan Torah, there is lightning, so we throw lit candles. So that's not so safe. So instead, we walk down with lit candles. I've seen some very fancy weddings where they have lit candles, you know, at different amongst the flowers all the way down the thing. And then when they dance the chasan kala back, people get wax all over their suits and burn themselves. And it's like not such a good thing to go with the fancy stuff. So anyway, that's a different klal. But dafka with the candles, it's really not such a good idea. And also, it's clear in the Gemara in Gittin Daf Peites Sanhedrin Daf Lamed Beis and Rabbeinu Chananel that they used to always have candles at a wedding. So candles were a very common thing, probably because they needed light and they had a lot of light at a wedding. But still, that was the minhag. What about the minhag of standing for a chasan and kala? So someone pointed out to me that in one of the more recent Beis Yitzchaks, Rav Asher Bush wrote an article about standing for the chasan and kala, whether this minhag has any basis. So there are a couple of suggestions that people have for where this comes from. The idea to stand for a chasan and kala. Some say it relates to chasan doma lemelech. So Rav Bush points out that we don't find that in all of Shas, such a concept of chasan doma lemelech, but it does exist. It does exist in Jewish literature. In Pirkei Rav Lazar, the Medrash tells us that a chasan doesn't work, just like a melech doesn't work. And it goes through a series of things that a chasan doesn't do because a melech doesn't do them. However, even even according to that opinion, it seems in Pirkei Rabbi Elazar from context that that's only talking about after the wedding. When do you become a chassan? Once you get married, once you already had the chuppah, you're not. We call it a chassan and kala. Rav Shechti used to tell us that Rav Schwab was very makpid when a couple got engaged not to call them a chassan and kala, because then they would get the impression that they could cut corners on the halacha, that they don't have to worry so much about separating from each other, about yichud, so he was makpid. He would call them a meshudach and a meshudechas. Never call them a chassan and kala. Chassan, the din of a chassan and kala doesn't start until you're actually married throughout the duration of Shavbrach. So it's very difficult to say that there's such a, that the minhag is based on that, based on the kavod that you have to give. Rabbi Sinneman writes in footnote 177 in his Sefer that he's been at many weddings with Rav David Feinstein and Rav Reuven Feinstein, and neither of them ever get up when the chassan and kala walk down the aisle. Apparently that was never the minhag, so they don't do it. The other problem is that when the Medrash compares a chassan to a melech, it's not just stam that a chassan has all the halachas of melech. It's for very specific things about working and the like. It's not about everything. He doesn't need to get a haircut as frequently as a melech gets a haircut, you know, every day or anything like that. It's not. He doesn't have all the halachas of melech. It's the gabbai certain things. The other suggestion of where this comes from is the Mishnah Bikurim. Paragim Mishnah Gimel. The Mishnah tells us that when people would bring the Bikurim, there's a whole parade. People bring the Bikurim to Yerushalayim, and the Balayumnius, the people who were working in Yerushalayim, would stop their work and would get up to greet the Mevi'ei Bikurim, would get up to greet the people who are bringing the Bikurim. So the Bartanur over there writes, Umitam ze omdim mipre nosei hamita shamespa umne nosei atinok lebrismila. That's why we stand for people carrying a coffin to go bring someone to get buried, and people carrying a baby to go bring a baby to brismila, because you stand for osei mitzvah. It's a good idea to stand for people who are doing a mitzvah. So some want to suggest, maybe that's why we stand for the chassan and kala, because they're on the way to do a mitzvah. So that's a question. Are they on the way to do a mitzvah? They're definitely on the way to do a hechsher mitzvah, at least. But is it a mitzvah? So that's a major machlokes rishonim. Whether getting married is a mitzvah. And even if it is a mitzvah, it's likely only the chassan's mitzvah. Yet our minhag is we stand for the chassan and the kala. Not only that, but the Gemara in Kiddushin, when the Gemara quotes this Mishnah, the Gemara in Kiddushin, Lamed Gimel says, Borei kama chaviva mitzvah b'shaita. Look how special it is to do a mitzvah in its proper time. Someone who's in the middle of work is not supposed to stop work to stand for a Talmud Chacham. But he does stop work to stand for the people who are bringing the Bikurim. So there is this idea of standing for people bringing the Bikurim. However, the Rambam writes that the reason we stand for people to bring the Bikurim, not for people who do any other mitzvah, is because Lefisha Nechnasim Him Kahal, the Kavarat Sibur Shaini, that you're standing for an entire community, for an entire group of people. You're not just standing for an individual. That's what the Rambam writes in the Pirushim Shnayis in Bikurim. Regardless, it at least, Rav Bush points out, at least does not seem to be a violation of B'chukosayim lo selechu. It doesn't seem to be a violation of B'chukosakum, even though Gayim do it also. They stand when the bride and the groom come in, because that's a derech kavod. And the Rambam writes in Kufayin Ches, in Yaradeya, that anything that we do, derech kavod, is not considered to be B'chukosayim lo selechu. That's what Rav Shachter thought, that caps and gowns for graduates, he thought, is not a problem with Chukasakum. I thought that was very strange, because if you look, it took one quick internet search to discover that this comes from the church, that this mode of dress was because universities used to be associated with the church. So it was church garb. But he thought it's not Chukasayim lo selechu, because it's derech kavod. It's like the doctor wearing the white coat. It's a way of recognizing the graduates, and giving them kavod for their accomplishment. He didn't think it was Chukasayim lo selechu, even knowing where it came from. There is a halacha, though, in Chumash, that when a Talmud Chacham or an old person, a zaken, walks into a room, within your Dalet Amos, you're mechuyev to stand for them. So although there's no din to stand for the chassan and kala when they walk down the aisle, there probably is a din to stand for if you're sitting within Dalet Amos of them for the chassan and kala's grandparents when they walk down the aisle, because they're almost always over 70, and therefore, if you're within Dalet Amos, you stand for them. If there's a Gadol B'Torah or your Rebbe Mufa, then you need to stand as soon as he walks in the room, even outside of Dalet Amos. But for older people, for Tamid Chachamim, then within Dalet Amos, you stand for them. Okay, that's getting us to the chuppah. Mirtz Hashem, maybe next time we'll discuss what we do once we're under the chuppah, or maybe we'll discuss Badek, and we'll figure it out. We'll move on. Okay.